Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What is going on, everybody? Hope you are having a good week so far. It's podcast time. And this week we have the one and only Meg Ward. Meg, I came across her when Patrick Toppin asked if she could remix my Less Rave record. I was like, sounds great, banging. She did a crazy remix and smashed it. And ever since then, I've kind of just seen her name just pop up everywhere. Always, every time I turn on Radio 1, she's always being played. And she's just a great person as well, a great producer, a great person. And it's so nice to kind of see things really taking off for her. So I decided to get her on the show, had a great conversation with her. She's amazing. And I cannot wait to see her like absolutely smash it over the next few years and kind of turn into something or turn into a household name in the scene. So without further ado, Meg Ward. Meg Ward, what's cooking?
Hello.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm not bad. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty tired today, but you've just woken up as well. You just said.
Hello.
How is it? How's life?
I'm on the night shift.
Yeah, what is it you do?
So I'm working as a mental health support worker at the minute.
Oh, dope.
So, yeah, it's quite intense. I only do 2 shifts a week and it's quite full on.
Yeah, what is that, like in a hospital or is it in a care home or...?
It's like a supported living facility, so okay. They're like, it's their own tenancy and yeah. Stuff, but they just need help with day-to-day things and stuff.
That's dope.
They're so lush. It's just hectic. Every day is different as well, which is always the best.
Yeah, I feel that. My parents are in a drug and alcohol rehab, so I used to work there years ago. Well, I still help them out during COVID at the moment, just by like picking clients up and stuff. But yeah, you're right. It's kind of like a... Every day is a different day. It never gets boring.
Yeah,
it's really. Nice. It's nice to give back there, right? It's nice to help.
It is. I feel like I'll always be doing something like that, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's, I think it's just, I don't know. It's just something I've always enjoyed. It's nice.
I think
it's like when you give something and you give it and you get it back at the same time. It's like karma in it and stuff.
Yeah, I think also it's that, it sounds kind of selfish, but helping people helps you.
Oh, 100%.
And it's not, you're not getting like it, you're not getting anything back. Material, it's not materialistic, it's like brain energy, like brain money.
It's so much more in it than material. Yeah,
and it's frustrating as hell sometimes, because you're just like, some people just don't get it and they're just not, and you wish you want it more than they want it, right? But I guess that's just the joys of helping people.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of my service users are drug and alcohol and stuff. Okay. And it's quite difficult a lot of the time, to be fair. But they're all lush and they're all just on their own journey.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
It is, isn't it? And it's amazing to be able to... I guess the thing that I look at is that everyone that's kind of going through issues is like, was a child at one point. And it's like, everyone has their own issues and everyone's had a different path and a different upbringing and kind of has a different journey. And I think society is so easy to judge people in society and like kind of put them all in, like put people with mental health issues in like this like thing that they're all fucking crazy people, if you know what I mean. But realistically, they're kind of some of the most intelligent people in the community and can give the most if they just get that bit of help.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. A lot of the people as well, I don't know, it's just you can't judge people on who they are at the minute, because you don't know what's happened to them in the past or anything. So it's really refreshing. I only started it in November.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What made you get into it?
So I decided like June last year to do a master's.
Okay.
In psychology.
Oh, dope.
But it was like a conversion course because I did a completely different undergrad.
Okay.
And I just set myself on this sort of different path, like career path and everything, and then June, like I were expecting June to take a good like 10 years to be able to like go full time and stuff, but it seems to have gone quite well, so
mate, you're smashing it. It's so nice to see. You're on, like, you're everywhere. Obviously you're not everywhere because of COVID, but I feel like if there wasn't COVID you would be.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's the case when it's over as well.
Yeah. How did it start? Like, I don't know anything about you. All I know is that you remixed my record and it was dope. And thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, thank you for having me on that.
And also, I've like caught up on your records like that you've released. And obviously, you get a lot of support from Radio 1, which is amazing, because I literally, every time I turn it on, it seems to be Meg Ward is playing, which is amazing. And it's mad, like you kind of like have this amazing like persona online and kind of seem like pretty cool and chill. And like, where did it all start? Like, what happened? Or how did it start?
I don't know, you know. Well, to be fair, I do know. I went to uni in Newcastle 2016. Okay. I think I moved there.
How old are you now? Yeah.
23.
Oh, young.
Ben.
Baby.
Yeah, Ben. I feel like a grandmother. This year's aged me.
Mate, I've gone so grey this year. It's like fucking wild. I've been going grey for a while, but I think the minute lockdown hit, I just turned silver fox. It's just like, it's not good.
Rocking it.
Trying. Sorry, I interrupted. So it's 2016, went to university in Newcastle.
Yeah. And I don't know, I just got involved in the scene there. I started working as a promoter at Cosmic Ballroom.
Okay. I think I played there.
Yeah, I think I've promoted one of the events that you played at, you know.
I never play in the UK, and I played, that was like 2018.
Yeah, I definitely promoted that.
Really?
It was it like a day party as well or something? You played the night?
Yeah, I played the night. It was pretty messy. It was good fun.
it's a sick venue. Yeah, I started promoting there, working for him, and I don't know, I just sort of fell in love with rave and the scene and stuff, and dance music as a whole. Like,
so is that your first like introduction when you like 2016 into like dance music?
I'd say prior to that, like I went to Leeds Fest when I was like 16. Seen Annie Mac on Dance 10, Gorgon City, like the classics. And fell in love with it then, to be fair, but like it really developed when I started seeing club culture a bit more, like when I was old enough to go to clubs. And just seeing it all and just being like, whoa, this is like a whole new world. Like, you can be who you want to be here and it's mint.
Yeah, it is true, isn't it? It's kind of like there's not many forms in society where you can just like completely escape normal life and kind of get away. If you go to the right places as well, like you can really just be whoever you fucking want.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. So when did you start writing and when did you actually start playing?
So I was working as a promoter for about 6 months at uni. Mm. And then I decided to, I was like, you know what? I'm always on the aux at home and stuff and with my mates. I'll buy a pair of decks and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I watched a few videos on like on what buttons to use and stuff. And then I just got my head down and just mixed loads of random tunes and just got proper into it. And
yeah. Love
and then
that.
I started doing like house parties in Jesmond in Newcastle, on ironing boards. Decks on ironing
Classic.
Board.
Classic.
And yeah, I ever since then, like, I think to be fair, it was one of my friends, who was starting up a new event, and it was at an house party, and I went to college with him and school with him and stuff before that. He was like, Meg, you're mint on decks. I want to have you play at my first event. And I'd only ever used a little controller at this point. And then it was at World Headquarters, his first event, supporting Ben Pierce as well.
Yeah.
So it was a bit like, okay, yeah, I'll do this.
Chucked into the deep end big time.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
And I was only opening, so it was only really my mates there at the start. Just
play for your mates in the bouncers, isn't it? But it's the best. Yeah. That's where you learn, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was the first time on CDJs as well, so it's like...
Thank God for that sync button.
Like this trying to use pitch fade.
Yeah. That's so good. And then did it just kind of snowball from there? So writing tunes and then kind of moving forward with that.
Yeah. So I worked as like a promoter for my friend's event and then a promoter for Cosmic and Ill Behaviour.
Yeah.
And as soon as I played that event, the promoter at Ill Behaviour runs her events were like, Meg, I didn't know you DJ'd. Like, come on, let's have you play Room 2 Cosmic. And then I think it might have been Big Miz.
Okay.
I'm not too sure. But yeah, it was upstairs in Room 2. We were just playing loads of like classic house tunes. Yeah. I think that's what I learned on, to be honest, like 90s house and stuff.
Mm.
So that's what my mates always used to love. Like,
it's like rave culture in Newcastle is like huge.
Yeah.
Like,
and party culture in general, I think.
Fucking love a rave.
Yeah, it's like all the mainstream people who would like go out to like go for Trebs and that and Bijou and what have you, loves Geordie Shaw, they still love a rave.
Yeah, they all do. It's ridiculous. It's proper mad. But I guess that's good. It's just Northerners just love to party. Even Scotland, like up in Scotland, they're mental up there. Same with Ireland, I guess. It's good fun though. So how did you start writing beats?
I don't actually know how I started, you know. I just I got Ableton, like the intro version.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know what? I'm just gonna have a play about on it. I think I got the trial thinking if I liked it, I'll carry on. It's not one of them. I've always been massively into music. Like I used to play trumpet when I was little and then I taught myself. Yeah.
That's so cool. Just get the trumpet out when you're mid set.
Yeah, I'm still yet to put a trumpet sample in my song.
I think Timmy Trumpet absolutely destroyed that and kind of like fucked it up for everyone. Do you know Timmy Trumpet?
Yeah. What song is it that...
Oh. It's so awful. It makes everyone want to die. What is it?
I don't know, but it's like... Have you seen that video? Is it that video of that kid banging on that oven?
No, something? What's that?
I don't know. I think he's playing that song.
Oh, really? I'm on it now. Timmy, what's his... Oh, he's... To be fair, he gets, like, mad streams, so I don't know what's, like...
The biggest one.
That. Oh, my God, he's done a remake of Mad World. That is awful. That's... Timmy Trumpet, shame on you.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, you just started writing beats and... Cracked on.
I just started. I think I just watched a few videos on Ableton, similar to the way I like learn how to DJ.
Yeah,
I had a look on YouTube, like I had a look at what does what, and sort of just tried worked to like play with the sounds and just get my own feel for it.
YouTube's amazing, isn't it? You can literally learn anything.
It is. That's how I learned guitar as well. Like,
can you play the guitar?
Yeah, not like amazing.
Winging it.
Wonderwall.
What else do you need to know on the guitar? That's all you need to learn.
Exactly,
literally.
Exactly.
Like, party trick, just get the guitar out, play Wonderwall, party. Everyone's happy. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody else wants any other song but Wonderwall on an acoustic guitar.
I remember when I used to live in Ibiza and the walk back to my place, and there was always a guitarist, like, and every night he was playing Wonderwall as I walked past. And it was just a bunch of drunk English people, and the only thing they would ever ask him to play was Wonderwall.
Oh, bless him. That must like, be soul
poor
destroying.
Guy. But he seemed to enjoy it, and he made money, so...
Yeah, I guess, fairs.
Thanks to Oasis for that. Have you seen that documentary, Supersonic?
I've not.
Mate, you have to check it out.
I've, like, watched, like, a really small part of it, because I walked in on my housemate... like watching it like a year ago,
yeah.
And it looked really good, and I was creasing at some of the parts. They're just
mental.
They're just icons, aren't they? They're just such different personalities as well.
It's just fucking mentalist, like mad to think that they were that famous in 2 years and then nothing else, they just stopped. And you're just like, how?
It's actually wild, that, to be fair.
Yeah, they were like the biggest band for 2 years, and they were like, and then pretty much stopped everything, and you're like, what the fuck?
But then there's still like, the tunes are still so iconic now.
So like, unbelievable. I feel like, I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we don't really get music that iconic anymore. Especially bands.
Yeah, I agree.
I
used to be really into bands as well.
Yeah, I feel like the bands are just kind of like, I feel like radio or mainstream radio is just like fodder. Like I sound like a well old person right now, but every song sounds the same, and it's like, yeah, like mumble rap or like some awful, I don't know, like just fodder. And I'm just like,
someone on a guitar.
Yeah, and then I listened to the new Kings of Leon album the other day. Have you heard it?
No, I've not.
It's fucking great.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really good. And I was like, why don't they play this on radio? They used to, if you know what I mean. Why don't they play like really good rock bands on radio?
Yeah, it's because it's not like they're popular anymore, is it? Like, it's not.
Yeah, because
not pop.
That's,
yeah,
I guess that's it. Like when they were popular, I was like 15. And now I'm 30, and now I'm old as fuck.
Nah.
It's wild. And then you look at the charts or something in the charts, and at the moment you're like, oh my God, like how? Who's listening to this stuff? And then you and then you realise it's TikTok, and you're like, ah, oh, okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you on TikTok?
I'm obsessed with it. Oh, yeah.
What's your TikTok?
It's just Meg Ward.
Do you do stuff on it?
Nah.
Oh, you don't? I've got it and like done a few things like years ago before it was TikTok.
Musical.ly.
Like, Musical.ly, yes. Did you have Musical.ly?
I downloaded it. I remember downloading it, and it was just loads of like 15-year-olds dancing and miming. So I was like, right.
Yeah, I guess it was a bit weird. Meg.ward. There we go. I'm following you.
Mint. I've just got so many, like, at the minute though, I'm obsessed with recipes on TikTok, and I've just got loads of like food things that on my For You page.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And then just loads of stupid videos as well.
So you're into cooking?
Yeah, I love cooking.
Come on, talk to me. I love cooking as well.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just love, I'm veggie though, so. Ooh, I don't know.
We shouldn't be talking. No, there's some amazing vegetarian dishes.
I'm really keen to make some like seitan from scratch.
Seitan?
Yeah.
What's this?
Like, it's like wheat gluten protein.
Okay.
So you just make it from dough, yeah.
Is it like a meat substitute or what people would call meat? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like really different texture. You can like shape it to make it different textures and stuff. It's really nice as well, to be fair, because you can just season it the way you want.
Yeah, but I think one of my friends, they own a few, like, they own, like, a fast food chain. It's called UWE. And it started in Bristol. And they started it with just like, it's like a burger diner, American diner stuff. And then they did open a vegan one. And I think they do like, a chicken burger with that kind of stuff. It's pretty good.
Sounds lush. Yeah.
It is pretty good, to be fair. And they like deep fry it and everything. It just tastes like a chicken burger.
Love it. There's loads of stuff like that in Leeds as well, to be fair. Leeds has got quite good for vegan stuff and veggie stuff.
It's so fashionable. Like, and I don't mean that in a horrible way. No. It goes out of fashion, but it is. It started from California in LA, I think. And I think it just, the culture just kind of came over here through the internet. And there's just so many more options. I remember like, if like, even like 5 years ago in the UK, you'd go to a restaurant and there'd be like, if you're vegetarian, you'd have to have like a goat's cheese salad or something like that.
Mushroom risotto.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had too many of them.
I do love a mushroom risotto though. It's pretty good. Yeah. If it's good. Shit risotto is terrible though.
It is.
Really bad. Go on.
No, I've not met a risotto before. You know?
Have you not?
I might have met one, yeah.
Well, I've just started a food show.
Oh really?
Yeah, I've just filmed like 11 episodes of a food show that I'm starting.
Oh, sick!
And I've done mushroom risotto on one of them, so I'll send it to you.
Oh, mint! What type of mushrooms have you used?
Porcini and shiitake. Yeah, they're good.
Mushrooms are amazing.
They're the best. Like,
oyster mushrooms as well. You can use them as like fake meat as well, which is sick.
They're like,
shred the.
They're amazing. Mushrooms are just so good.
I
don't understand why people don't. I do understand why people don't like them, but I also don't, because it's like, they taste so good. Yeah. Even eating them raw is like amazing. I went and did like a week in a restaurant. It's like a restaurant hotel, and it's like this crazy Italian dude that just cooks. He kind of self-taught himself, but it's not Michelin star, but it could be if he would like wanted to.
Fine dining and that.
Yeah, and it's like it's like a hotel, so very small, so it's like 8 tables every night and that's it. But he does this amazing thing with mushrooms. He gets like porcini mushrooms, I think it's porcini, no, chanterelle mushrooms.
Ooh.
Dehydrates them and then covers them in chocolate.
What?
Mate, they are fucking amazing.
Is it like dark chocolate? Or is it
dark chocolate.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I couldn't imagine it with like a really sweet sugary chocolate.
It's like dark chocolate. So it's super nice after like a dinner or like with coffee. Ooh. Not that I drink coffee, but it's unreal. I'll have to get him to, I'll get a picture of it and I'll send them over to you, but they're so good.
But that's mad.
He ferments them first. So you ferment them for about a week in like a fermenter, and then they like turn all like gooey and like, they look disgusting. It looks horrible. And then he dehydrates that, and then it kind of turns into like a powdery kind of thing, and then covers it in chocolates. Oh my God. So good.
Mad. That's so creative as well. Like, who would think to do that?
Yeah, his shit's amazing. Like, I there's chefs, there's cooks and there's chefs, isn't there?
Yeah.
And like, one of my mates is like quite a famous chef in America, and some of the stuff he cooks is just like, mate, like, how did you think of that? But then again, it's the same with music, isn't it? It's like,
true, like, cooking up a beat,
it's exactly the same. It's like, I'm sure people are like, how the hell did Meg Ward make that record? And I don't know, I do it all the time. Like, there's producers out there that I'm like, how the fuck did they make that record? Like,
and then the amount of times that you listen to a song and it's like, how?
Who's your artist? Who's your like go-to artist every time that you're like, I give up, I'm never going to be as good as them? We all have one.
Moby.
Oh, yeah. Good shout. Good shout. He's fucking amazing.
He's crazy. Crazy good.
Yeah, he is.
Who's yours?
Maceo Plex.
Oh, Fez. Yeah. That's next, like, dark as well.
I just, I don't know how he does it. I can make all the sounds and I can make like everything like that, but I just can't get the feel that he gets. He gets this like
depth.
Yeah, that you're just like, wow. And
yeah, I rate him, to be fair.
Yeah, he's well good. But Moby is like on another level.
Never.
How good is his new album?
Well, yeah,
newest
sick.
Album.
So good.
It reminded me of his kind of one of his like first albums. Like very like rave orientated.
He's
put a few albums out that I wouldn't say they're duff, but they're like,
he's got a lot of ambient albums and stuff,
which I love to listen to. Absolutely love to listen to when I'm trying to sleep or when I'm like chilling. But his new album's amazing.
It's next level.
Yeah. What's plans for after COVID? Have you got shows coming in?
I do, and
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice, but I've not got an agent yet, so it's a bit hectic for me because I'm getting loads of emails and what have you, or I'm trying to sort out my own things. So I need
to get
an agent
sorted.
I have I'm in a trial period.
Who are you with?
Palm Artists.
Palm Artists. I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're with my manager Georgina. She's I think she's Gorgon's manager as well, Gorgon City.
Okay, that's Palm.
Yeah.
Is it Palm Agency?
Palm Artists,
I think.
Yeah.
I've heard of them somehow.
Yeah.
That's dope though.
Yeah, she's really helped me out so much. Like, I'm so, like, I didn't realise how unorganised I was, you know. Like, I bought a diary for the first time not long ago, and I was like, oh my God, I'm actually being organised. I've just sort of, like, always just said yes to everything and then forgotten about things.
About
or what
everything
I hear,
else.
And then like, it's got to the day, I'm like, oh God.
No, that makes sense. I bought a book the other day. I say the other day, about 6 months ago. And I was like, because I was kind of I'm always pretty organized.
Yeah.
But I would always be doing random things like cooking or like on a run and be like, oh shit, I need to do that. And forget. And then I'm like, I don't write this down. So I need to write it down and then actually like tick the shit off when it's done. And it saved my life.
Yeah.
Get so much more productive, so much more done when it's that way, which is great.
Yeah, I do that on my notes, to be fair, on my phone.
See, I tried.
Got random notes.
I tried, but I would never look at my notes.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, to like do things. And I've got about a million to-do lists on my notes and I might never look at them. Whereas this is just there and it just like shouts at me and is like, I have to open it and write stuff down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
it's
great
a bit
though.
It's more real, isn't it, when it's like physical and you've written it down already.
Yeah.
Makes you remember it more as well, I swear, like writing it.
I hate writing as well. Like,
yeah,
my handwriting is like a fucking 2-year-old.
Oh, so. Mine's so bad. I want to find some. Let me find some. Ooh, wait.
I can't wait for this.
Oh, it's horrific.
That's not that bad. But I get it.
It's not the classic handwriting that you'd expect.
That's mine.
See, yours is similar.
Yeah, we're both pretty shit, let's be honest. But like, I always thought this might be sexist, but this is kind of, at school, every girl had neat handwriting.
No, that's what I was trying to get at then. It's not usual that I don't have nice handwriting.
I really like nice handwriting as well. And I could never do it at school.
Yeah.
Sucked. My brother's got amazing handwriting and I was always super jealous, and then I just can't at all, can't even read it.
I wanted to be a doctor when I was younger.
Oh, you would have smashed it then. Doctors can't handwrite for shit.
I think that's why my handwriting's so bad, because I conditioned myself to be a bad handwriter because I knew that doctors were bad handwriters.
They're terrible, aren't they? You're just like, what the fuck did you just write? Luckily for computers nowadays, they don't write much.
Yeah.
That's dope though, with management. Is it nice to just like have somebody kind of fighting on your side?
100%. It's been such a blessing at the minute because obviously we've doing Dan, that lockdown link up with Dan on Danny's show.
Yeah. Who are you doing it with? Who did you do it with? Was it Hannah?
Hannah once.
Yeah.
It was sick, to be fair. It was really fun.
That's dope.
But doing that and like getting like loads of stuff back and forth, it was just easier for Georgina to sort it and stuff. And I don't know, I can't wait to just like not have to reply to every single thing that I get, email or whatever.
I think it's nice to have somebody to, this sounds awful, but it's meant in the best possible way, but have somebody that can like fight for you and say no.
100%.
Because saying no is the most powerful thing ever.
It is.
And it sounds awful, but I think at the beginning, everyone wants to do everything, which is understandable. And you should do everything, and just to kind of be out there and get out and about. But there comes a point when you're like, well, is this like detrimental to my career or not? And I think a lot of the time it is pretty detrimental, and it can kind of...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you've got the right team, then it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And to be honest, like obviously I'm really fresh into the scene and stuff, and I don't have a clue half the time. So it's nice to have somebody with like a bit of the wits about them and know what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice. It's good. And I think like you've got such a long career ahead of you. Like from an outsider, like if you smash it the next couple of years, you're like on to an absolute winner. You just got to keep it up, mate. Keep it up.
Keep them bangers coming.
Keep them up, yeah. How did you get in touch? How did like you and Patrick get involved? Patrick Toppin.
Patrick. I think he found me on SoundCloud, you know.
Really?
Just randomly.
Yeah.
Out of blue. And I remember he commented on one of my like first ever releases. It was like a really daft edit of Promiscuous Girl. By Nelly Furtado.
I need to hear this. Please send me it.
it's really bad, but it's like my best song on SoundCloud because I think it's just so bait and that, and I don't know. It's like
it's always the way.
It's a groovy tune.
did Patrick play it?
I'm not too sure, you know, but he downloaded it and he commented on it, and that's when I first like, honestly, I remember I was on my SoundCloud when it happened because I literally just clicked off it and clicked back on again just to refresh or what have you, and I seen it and I was like oh my god, it's like he was the first person to pick me up and like recognize anything that I've done, and it was really nice to come from someone from Newcastle as well. And I remember it happening and not long after he reached out to me just saying that he'd listened to some of my songs and he really liked some of my music. And I literally got the message when I was working in a bar in Newcastle. And I opened it and I was like shaking. And showing my manager at work and that. Like buzzing.
I love that. He's such a nice guy as well. He's kind of like one of the... I would say he's... In the UK, he's the biggest artist at the moment.
Yeah.
Hands down. Like, up there.
He's such a personality as well. Like, he's got, like, he's so sound. And he's one for the people, if you get
me. Yeah, he is. No, 100%. Which is great because you do get it, but you don't get it as personable as him. If you know what I mean, there's not many artists that are that big that can sell thousands and thousands and thousands of tickets that is so like wants to be part of the community and kind of build the community. It's so nice to see.
Yeah, it's what he's done for the scene in Newcastle and everywhere, to be honest, has been so like so good and so positive, and he's got such a positive energy about him, hasn't he?
Yeah, I love it. I think he's just like just loves it. Absolutely loves it. Yeah, it's so good to see. Like we've spoke a bunch, but I hadn't properly had a conversation with him until I got him on the podcast. And yeah, it's just like, because obviously when you're in clubs, you don't really have a conversation with people. Like, it's just like, hi, bye, high five, tap on the ass and crack on. And it's like, it's just, but it's, yeah, he's just dope. Such a nice dude.
He is. And yeah, the community is building with Trick as well.
Mm. Yeah, Trick's going to be the next biggest thing in the UK. Without a shadow of a doubt. It is going to be, it is one of the biggest things already, but it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I think what he's done with it as well, because he's like given so many people a leg up, it's created these core people associated with it. And like, it's rare for a label to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not many labels nowadays that do it. And there's not many labels that allow you to do it and also do your own thing.
True.
And I think that's the thing that's really key, is that with Trick, they're doing their own thing, and they don't care what you do outside of Trick, if you know what I mean. They just want artists to be themselves, which is so key, because nowadays, I don't know about you, and might be something that you come across or you might have come across already, but so many labels just want one sound and want what fits with their label. That's the reason why I started mine. I've kind of sound like a broken record on this podcast. I say it all the time, but it's like, there's so many labels that are great labels, but they just don't want an artist to be an artist. They want an artist to fit with their sound.
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of good to build a brand, but it's not good to build an artist.
Yeah, I think if the artist wants to do, I don't know, because it's so weird. There's so many labels that like help artists. You kind of almost have to be part of a label to kind of get a leg up nowadays, to a certain extent, unless you build your own thing. But that just takes a lot longer. But you need a leg up somehow, whether that's a banging tune or a record label. But how often does a bang like the There's not many massive records that kind of give you the leg up that a label doesn't. Like, what was the last one? I guess Along Came Polly by Rebuke was like the last massive record.
Yeah.
That kind of, it could have been on, the fact that it was on Hot Creations was huge, but it wasn't the Hot Creations side of it that made Rebuke massive. It was the record. And then after that, before that was Cola.
Cola, yeah. I was thinking as well, Joe Raw Cuts by Ketama, that just created him an artist. That made him an artist.
Ketama's been around for years, though.
Yeah, but that one song, I don't know if
I don't know that record.
I think it was big on SoundCloud. Do you know what? Okay. I think it might have been because I just used to smash it out. And it's so big.
Ketama, I literally haven't heard that stuff for a while.
Yeah, he's still... He's
what was
still
it called?
Producing and stuff, isn't he? He's
what was the track called?
Raw Cuts.
Ah, see, it's not on...
Is it not?
I can't see it on Spotify.
Oh, I think it's because it's like a rap sample, it's literally just on SoundCloud. Yeah, on SoundCloud, it's got like a million.
That's wild.
It's huge, isn't it? There's two uploads of it. One's got 1 million and one's got 2 million.
Smashing. Yeah. I think with Trick, they just kind of allow people to do their own thing. And they're not like, you can't release on other records. Because there's some record labels that, like, the minute you start releasing on other people's record labels, they don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
fuck you people like that.
Yeah, literally. What's the point?
Unless you're paying someone a shit ton of money.
Yeah, big advance or something.
And releasing their music on a regular basis so that they're always in the pub. Because nowadays you have to release music so often. Well, you don't have to, but to kind of, unless you release massive hits every time or you're a very well-established artist, you have to just release music because the more music you release, the more likely people are going to hear it and then you get booked for shows, et cetera, et cetera.
Staying relevant, innit?
Exactly. Music's just, as sad as it is, it's just a business card for us to get booked nowadays, which sucks because there's barely any money in music or in our scene anyway. But unless you're getting big advance and they're like booking you for every show and they're like really investing in you as an artist, you have to release on other labels.
You have to have your fingers in all the pies, otherwise.
You do, 100%. What's obviously you're like still fresh and new to everything. Have you got any big goals or are you just like whatever kind of comes?
Yeah, I don't know, you know. I've got a fair few goals for the next, for the next 5 years, I'd say that I wanted to, I don't know. I said that I wanted to go in the next 5 years full-time with music, so I think I'll probably be able to do that probably by the end of this year, hopefully.
You'll be full-time by the end of this year.
Yeah. And I also, to be fair, one of my big goals as well was getting on Animax Minimix.
Oh, really? Did you do that?
I've got it on Friday.
Oh, no way. That's amazing. I know.
I'm so gassed. To be honest, I literally said, I'd only have made it in my career if Animax knows who I am. That's obviously such a, not a minor goal, but it's a huge goal, I think, to me.
No, I think we all have different goals, right?
Yeah.
But what you'll find, maybe, is that you'll reach this goal and you'll be like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
And then, yeah. That's amazing, mate. Minimix is huge.
Yeah, I'm pushing for it. I've started planning it. I've just got loads of bangers to put in it.
Have you not done it yet?
No, I've nearly done it. It's almost done.
How long has it taken you to do?
A couple of hours. I did it on Ableton and I don't know if that's cheating or not.
No, it's not. That's what everyone does.
Yeah.
Unless you're Andy C. Did you hear the Andy C one years ago that he did? He did that live and it was a ridiculous amount of tracks just all at once. It's wild.
I've only got an RX2, I'd need five decks or something.
how many records are in there?
At the minute, about 22.
That's amazing.
It's not that bad. Not that bad, is it? I've got a couple of them as well that are just songs that are my unreleased songs, but just the vocals.
You got to do it. You got to do it. Self-promotion.
Cheeky.
No, definitely. That's cool. So what else? What else is on the list of goals? If you don't have to tell me if you don't want, though.
No.
I know some people get a bit nervous.
Too shy. So what were I going to say? Yeah, in lockdown last year, I'd started writing an album.
Oh, cool.
And it's so different to anything I've put out before. Well, to be fair, it's quite similar to Joe Disappear, that track, and that Meditate EP.
Yeah.
It's that more sort of chilly, breaky vibe that I'm going for. Pretty much finished an album, but over this past year, but it's just a bit of a music dump at the minute. So my goal is to make it more of an art piece. And have it out within the next couple of years, hopefully, as a big album as well. Yeah. And hopefully get a decent deal with it and what have you.
That'd be dope. Do you want to do major or do you want to do indie?
Probably a big indie one.
Ninja Tune.
That's the exact one I was had in my mind.
Yeah.
That or Mute.
Yeah, Mute's cool.
Mm.
Really cool. Ninja's the one though, isn't it?
It is. It's the OG, isn't it?
Yeah. Tisha's on that. Tisha's signed all of her stuff.
She's has.
Yeah. She's killing.
Sick as well.
She's killing. Like,
killing it.
Her music's so good as well. Just like, there's a few people that are just like, I'm like, every time, Tisha's stuff's amazing. Girl called Made in Paris. I don't know if you know her.
Who, sorry?
Made in Paris.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sick. Like, I didn't get that. Oh, hi, Siri. How did that start?
I don't know. That's so weird.
Is it because you said sick?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Can't understand my horrible accent.
Northern accent. Yeah, no, album, I've always wanted to do an album. And for years said, I'm going to do an album, and like written a load of album records.
Yeah.
And then never done anything with them. Because I'm like, it's not the right time.
Yeah.
And then I was going to do one for next year. But it's definitely not the right time next year for me. And no. For me as an artist, like, I feel like we need to get out of coronavirus and back to normal. And then, like, because if I was to do an album, I want to do like a proper world tour. I want it like properly done. And
yeah,
I want to like build in other territories before I do that, because I want every show to be fucking amazing. And it has to be right, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Like, at first I was like so keen to just like dump all my music into it, and because I was making like loads of the same style, and it kind of all fitted together. And then the more I did it, the more I was like progressing with my production as well, because obviously I'm still quite new to it. I started producing in 2018.
Oh, damn.
Fresh. 2018. Yeah, so I don't know, it's just like I'm constantly growing now as an artist, and I thought it was the right thing to do at the start. But as I've grown this past year, it's sort of grown with me and grown apart from me. So I'm trying to like work towards like making it more of a like a come to, like a piece of art to come together, rather than it just be like a music dump.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think also, like you said, like being newer to production, you kind of, like when you're 4 or 5 years into production, you're kind of like learning so much new stuff and and like new genres and kind of new ways to do things. And sometimes you're like, you'll write a record and like 4 years time, you'll still love it. Like there'll be one record that you're like, I still love this record. But then there'll be like, with that, there's going to be like 30 other records that you're like, I'm so glad I didn't put that out, just purely because of just like, evolve, like evolution in writing music is just like amazing, and you do get much better as the years go on. But I think the whole artist album thing is, I think everyone should do it.
Yeah, it definitely, it can just, I don't know, it could create a whole different fan base and a whole different side to you that your own fans anyway don't see.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people and get like slated for doing it if it's like a different style or what have you, but I don't think it should be like that. I think it should be that you should be able to be diverse as an artist.
Yeah, it's really tough, because who was I talking to about this? I think it was literally last week. Oh, I had a girl called LP Giobi. I don't know if you've heard of her.
Oh no, I'm not too sure.
She's like killing it in America at the moment.
Sick.
But like she has like a charity foundation for like getting new women into production and things like that. She does like loads of shit for like women in the house music, and she's great.
Oh, I rate that.
She's fucking great. You should check her out. Like you might not like her music. She's like more on the commercial side of things. But she's
everything.
She's a banging production. She's banging at producing, but she's also an amazing pianist and just great. But we were talking about I think it was her anyway, but we were talking about having to stick to like one thing and one genre, and you kind of have to in house and techno, like, because it's such a snobby fucking scene. And like, I struggle with it massively, because like one record that I like, let's say for instance my last record Run and then the EP that I just released on Needed Pains are completely different, but
Yeah, I'd say you're quite diverse.
But I think you have to, as long as I don't really like the people that listen to your music, and I don't really like calling them fans, but the people, cause it just sounds weird, doesn't it? But
my
like,
fans.
They're like, it sounds American as fuck. Sorry to all the Americans listening. But it's almost like you have to get you have to present it well. And you have to kind of talk people through it, because otherwise you get put into like one genre and you have to do that for the rest of your career because you're going to alienate all your fans. But yeah. I think if you do it right, because that happened to me at the beginning of my career. Like, I signed to Dirty Bird and I was known as a Dirty Bird artist. And it took me so long to get out of that, if you know what I mean. Oh, I lost you. There we go. We're back.
Sorry, I think I'm on my connection.
It's all right. Don't worry. And it took me ages to kind of get out of that, of like, you're this artist. You're only related to this label. But you're 100% right. I think artists should be able to just do what the fuck they want.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like being associated with a label is a good thing.
Totally.
But when you've not liked that label anymore, or you want to develop your sound, it's not anymore a good thing, is it?
I think it depends. I think it's all down to you as the artist on how you kind of communicate what you're doing. Because I think a lot of people just be like, here's a new record, deal with it. but we're not like that in life, if you know what I mean. None of us like change, really. Like, we don't like changing anything, if you know what I mean. If, like, the road layout's different, we all get a bit fucking weirded out and going, what the fuck's going on here? Like, we like to have the same. And yeah. I think when an artist... Even I get it when like one of my like favorite artists releases something really weird. I'm like, fucking hell, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
But it's just about communicating and I think explaining what the process is, and then I think people get it.
I agree. I think if you just do it and just drop it on people, everyone gets a bit like, whoa,
a bit anxious, calm don't down. They? Oh, that was it. It was Justin J that I was talking about it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because he's like wild and will just release fucking anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, like, I don't know how you do that, because I couldn't do that. He's like on another extreme, and I love it. I love the way we were kind of talking about how we do it different ways. But I think you're good, mate. It's great to see. Like, you're going to be smashing.
I hope so.
You 100% will be. Like, I've got a very good feeling about it for you. And it's amazing to see.
That's lush to hear as well.
I think it's just nice to see, like, fresh people that are dope in the scene. And it's not the fucking same old, if you know what I mean. Like, I think the UK is classic for it. Just booking the same artist over and over and over again. And... like, I know I don't tour much here, but I take note on what's happening in the scene, and I'm just like, fucking hell, people, like, need to book different people. Like, we need to kind of find some fresh artists out there that, yeah, they might not sell as many tickets to start with, if you know what I mean. Like, but that's what you need, because in 4 or 5 years' time, they're going to be selling your club out, and you're going to have dope relationships, and you're going to be, like, smashing it, all of you. So it's great. I think it's much needed, and I think there's been some real like dope artists coming out of lockdown, which has been interesting.
Yeah, I've noticed. Like, I didn't even mean it to be lockdown that sorted out my career, but it kind of has been in a way. I don't know. I was on furlough for the start of lockdown, and I just bought a book and actually just pure got into like actually getting into the nitty-gritty of production and figuring out like the depths of I don't know what I can produce and what I'd like to make. And yeah, it just got me grafting a bit more. And I think that's the same for a lot of artists. Like, you can tell there's been a shift in the sound that's been released since last year.
Yeah. I think also what's happened is a lot of people haven't been going to clubs, obviously. But so they're not hearing the music as much. So they're actually just doing what they want to do and not copying as much. There's a lot of shit music out there that still gets released, but it's not just the same old getting released. And I think that's what's keeping kind of things a little bit fresher. And radio's been a huge part of lockdown.
Massive.
And I think it's like the only community that you can kind of all be part of.
I had my first radio play, apart from when Hi played me on a Essential Mix back in February. All my radio plays have been in lockdown.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of wild to this, just get all this and not be able to actually see it though, like in a club or anything. So I'm going to go from like playing in like clubs of 50 people who are here to see somebody else to then see me instead.
It's great. It's amazing. And yeah, I guess it's going to be weird because you're going to be playing in front of big crowds.
There's no transition that I've had.
No.
I've played as a resident and loved it. I've done a few headline shows, but they've not sold as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like everyone's just going to be keen to buy tickets for anything at the minute, so it doesn't really matter.
Everything's selling out. Everything's selling out, isn't it? They're just like, everyone wants to fucking rave, which I get is great, but this is your time to just like grow and build. It's perfect. Like, I'm proper happy for you, mate. Proper happy for you.
Thank you.
Before we wrap this up, how can people follow you and all of that?
Metalist Lulum.
That was a classic.
Instagram, it's Meggy Ward, Meggy Ward. And Twitter is the same. And
do you use Twitter?
A bit. It's all right.
I gave up on it during lockdown.
Yeah, there's a lot of cancel culture on it.
It kills me.
It's really, it's draining, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've sort of like my timeline at the minute on it is quite good. It's just full of like stupid tweets and that, so it's fine. But when you get like a big thing happening, it's always on Twitter and it's always just a bit like the Meghan and Harry thing and what have you.
What with the interview?
Yeah. That was just all over Twitter. And
I didn't know anything about that. For like probably about 2 years, actually, I stopped watching news and I was like, tapping out, can't deal with it. And then lockdown, I was like, But I unfollowed, like, on Twitter, for some reason, I was following like 3,000 people.
Mad.
And at the beginning of lockdown, I like whittled it down to like 300 people and was like, okay. And then it still was just like, nah. So I just
think, things creep in, don't they?
I just tweet and run. just like tweet and piss off and don't open Twitter for a week and just do it.
Yeah, it's not the best. It's when something interesting happened or what have you in the media.
Yeah,
it's sometimes quite interesting.
Did you hear about Bristol?
Well, no.
Did you hear about the riots in Bristol last night?
Oh yeah, what happened?
Mate, it's fucking wild. So obviously they were protesting about the bill that government want to put in about like giving the police a little bit more power to kind of intervene during protests. But then I think there was like 5,000 people protesting in Bristol yesterday, which is cool. Like, I'm all for that. And then about 500 people, there's a police station called Bridewell Police Station, and about 500 people started smashing it up and burning all the police cars. They burnt like two or three police vans down, put three cops in hospital, like just fucking idiots.
Mad.
Yeah. It's just like,
so I've not up at news. I've been asleep.
It's wild. I just don't get it. Crazy. It's like, you're actually making the whole point of the government to like give the police more power, and that's what you're all protesting against. And you're just like giving them a reason to give them more power, and it's like,
yeah, it's sad though, because obviously like something like that's going to make people angry and make people want to lash out, but it's not the right way of doing it, is it?
Well, it never works.
It's sad. Never
it
does.
Never works, never, because does. There was if all 5,000 were like smashing everything up, that they weren't, it was like a peaceful protest, like, which is the whole point of a peaceful protest, if you know what I mean. Like, they did mm-hmm. it in London, or they were all doing it all around the country. But then you always get a dickhead, don't you?
Yeah.
It's always a dickhead.
And it takes a couple to then people follow the crowd, and then...
It's easy. It's so easy, because you just... There's no accountability when there's a group of you, right?
Yeah. That's... It's the root of a lot of things, isn't it? Like, being a member of a group and that de-individualization of somebody.
It's so sad.
I don't understand it. You lose your own identity. It's really sad, isn't it?
I bet there must be so many people that get caught up in that shit, and it ruins their lives. They get arrested, they get put in prison, and it's like ruins their lives. And all they were doing was just like following the trend,
following a cause.
Yeah,
that they may believe in it, but they just didn't act out on it in the right way.
That's it, innit? We all have a choice, though, isn't it?
Whether
you don't need to smash a policeman's face in to
making no points there.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to work, is it? What have you got coming up music-wise?
Oh, I've got another release coming out. I Need One.
Cool. Whose label's that?
It's affiliated with Stress Records.
I thought it was, because the like artwork looks similar to Stress. I love all the guys at Stress. Well, I know Luke. I speak to Luke occasionally.
Yeah, Luke's the one I speak to as well.
He's dope.
Yeah, he's lush, yeah.
Stress is doing some wicked stuff, actually, and they're pulling through some, like, dope new artists.
They are. They're building a nice little
community.
Community as well, yeah.
Nice little family. No, that's great. Mm. I like that, because they are... It's not headed by, like, a big DJ.
Mm.
So they're literally... just releasing music. They're just a record label, which is fucking amazing.
Yeah. It's nice, actually, to be fair, to be part of that, because I like the idea of being associated with a label owned by an artist, but I don't want to be, I don't know, like, specifically affiliated with that then.
Yeah.
In the future.
It's what we were saying just a minute ago.
It's like, literally.
It's great, but with my label, that's why I haven't signed anyone yet. Because I'm like, I want the label to be at a point where we can do their music justice as a label, not as being associated to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I want to help with touring, and I want to bring people on tour who I sign and stuff like that, but I want them to be their own artist.
Yeah.
It's so important. Yeah. It's important.
Yeah, there's different ways of doing it, isn't there? But I do like that idea as well.
Yeah. Sure. So you got a record coming out of that. Anything else? Yeah. Or are you just working on new beats?
Working on new beats, to be fair. Yeah. I don't know, really. I don't really know my plans. I'm just going to wing it for the next couple of years.
Mate, you are doing a great job of winging it.
As well, this song that's coming out, it's going to have me on the vocals.
Oh, cool. So do you sing?
No.
Is it you speaking a northern accent?
Yeah.
Sick.
All right, lass.
All right, Doc.
No, it's like I'm trying to just say random stuff into the mic and like sort of spit bars, but not spit bars. just say rhymes.
You're gonna be like the new like rapper in the UK. You're gonna like give up house music and be like a grime artist from Newcastle. Do you know Slow Tie?
Yeah,
you're like the Newcastle version of Slow Tie.
I was thinking more Blackpool grime media. Have you seen that?
No, what's that? I haven't heard that.
Oh, search when you in your spare time. Search Sophie Aspin gets okay. Pard on.
is a classic.
Full grime. BGM, it's called. BGM.
Okay, I'll check that one out.
It's, what's her name? Ah, Millie B. Millie B.
Millie B.
Yeah, if you don't know, I'm M to the B.
Send me a link after.
I will do.
I'll check that out. That's great. And when's your have you got a show booked in first, or your first show for coming out of lockdown?
Yeah, I've got a few that aren't confirmed yet, but one looking like it's going to be in Bristol.
Oh, dope. Really. When?
When?
Yeah.
It's the 26th of June, but they said they might push it back or what have you.
Because whereabouts?
It's a like a one-off festival thing.
Oh, cool. Love Saves
it's
the
like
Day.
A I think it might be that, yeah.
If it was a club show, let me know, because I live near Bristol.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I'm not going to Love Saves the Day, but...
No, I've had another inquiry for Bristol as well, actually. I think it's... Let me find what it's called. They never replied to me, actually, so it might not be the case. Oh, no, I won't be able to find it this quick. But it's a club in Bristol. I think it's called, like, Summit 32 or Summit. I'm not too sure.
32. Fuck. What is that in Bristol? Basement 45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it might be that.
I used to work behind the bar there years ago.
No way.
Yeah. But let me know if you do are ever in Bristol, I'll come.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll let you know.
30 minutes away.
I should be there this summer. Like, I love Bristol. I mean, I've never been, but I love it.
Fucking love that city. Never been there, but it is one of the best cities in the UK.
Yeah,
I'm biased, like, but it's great.
All my friends that live there and that or what have you, or have moved there, they love it.
Yeah, it's banging. It's like, it's kind of like Manchester to a certain extent, but a little bit more like hippie.
Yeah, I get that vibe. Yeah. It's like Brighton in a sense then, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but Brighton's still got that like London side of it where it's like,
yeah,
like like we're lad. Like, I'm just not really into it. But Bristol's like proper. I don't know. Bristol's weird because you've got like the really rich area that like they just go to like shit pubs, and then you've got everything else, and it's like everything else is pretty dope.
Yeah,
there's a cool culture in Bristol. Cool culture.
That's
cool. Some great music's come from there as well.
Yeah, they're quite big on their drum and bass and stuff as well, though, aren't
huge.
They?
Huge. Yeah. I was like, everyone I went to school with like loved drum and bass, and I didn't like it when I was growing up. I was like,
did you know?
I was like house and techno only, and I would try and convert all my friends to like listen to house and techno, and it would just never happen. They were like, what is this shit? And then they all started like, everyone turned like 18 and wanted to go to raves in Ibiza, and we eventually got them to the dark side. But
yeah, I like that.
eventually. Yeah,
after right. A long time.
Right, let's wrap this one up. Thanks so much for being on.
And it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Maggie Ward Instagram.
Meg Ward on Facebook, and yeah, that's all the platforms that I can think of.
Sweet. And TikTok, meg.ward.
I'll be posting some quality content and dances.
Of course.
What have you.
and recipes. Come on.
Yeah.
Get that veggie recipe on.
Oh, I'm excited to see that cooking show.
Oh, yeah. It's going to go on YouTube. I don't know when, but soon, I think.
Sick.
Yeah. Right. Keep safe. Let me know if you need anything. Thank you so much. Keep safe.
See
you soon.
Lush.
Bye, mate. Take care.
See you later.
Ciao. And that is a wrap. I hope you enjoyed that one. If you did, please share it with your mates and your gran and your mum and your dad or whoever. Also, give us little comments in the review section. And keep safe. See you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.